Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. For victims of domestic violence, elder abuse, human trafficking, sexual assault, even child abuse, trying to work through the legal system and get help from a network of agencies can be maddening, not to mention discouraging, maybe even defeating. In 2016, the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center was established to offer some of these services in one location. Now, the holidays can be stressful. They can even be dangerous. So knowing about this center right now and the resources it offers, I think, might help someone in need. I'm joined in the studio by Faith Whitmore. She is CEO of the Justice Center. Hello, Faith.
Thank you. Hi, Beth.
Glad to have you here. The former Sacramento County DA, Jan Scully, is here, and she is chair of the board of directors. Hi, Jan.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. So this became your key project and your focus as you were leaving the DA's office, but there was a long ramp up to this project. Why was it so important to you and imperative that it happen?
Well, family justice centers are the national best practice for bringing services to victims, as opposed to making a victim go out on their own if they decide to leave a violent environment, have to figure out all of the navigation, getting everything they need. It's impossible. They give up and they often return to that environment that at least they know. And so I've dealt with victims in the family violence area, particularly domestic violence, for my entire career as a DA. And so what was important to me is that we cared about them, but when the case was over, then we had to move on to the next case, and they moved on with no aftercare, no support system, nothing. And so for me, this holistic approach now on the community side, when a victim can come in, we like to say it's a one-stop center where we work with her or him to assess what are the needs to give them the hope and the confidence to take the next steps forward. And so that, to me, is bringing collaborative agencies together, working together as a community. We just don't change that victim and that family. We potentially will profoundly change our communities.
What's the picture of the approach across the country? There are more than 100, in fact, many more than 100 justice centers across the country. And you would think maybe in Sacramento's case, being the capital of California, this should have been in place for a long time. What kind of coalescing does it take to make it happen?
Well, you really have to bring nonprofits together, public-private organizations that touch some aspect to provide some sort of service to these these victims. And so that can be a challenge. People like to compartmentalize. They don't want to compete, those kinds of things. And so the FJC, really, our message was we're not here to compete or in any way diminish the great work that's going on already in our community, but to complement and enhance. We need to be all working together so we don't have the gaps, so we can provide that service and support to that victim, because if she is successful, then we are successful as a community.
There is a span of services here, and I don't know which one of you can answer this better, but how does someone arrive at the center who needs help? And then you walk through the doors and you look around, and how do you know where to go? Is there a navigation team that helps?
So what happens when a victim? First of all, we receive victims from all sorts of places and referrals. So the law enforcement, the court, sister, brother agencies, word of mouth, etc. So when a person comes into the Family Justice Center and there's no appointment needed and there is no cost, so I want to make sure everybody knows that so that won't be a hindrance. But when someone comes in, they meet with a case manager, and that case manager sits with the victim, listens to the story, tries to understand what that person might need in order to go from a place of danger to a place of hope. So they develop with that person a safety plan, whether the person decides to stay or to leave. Primarily, we want that person to be safe, because not everybody's ready to leave when they come in the first time, but our doors are always open. So we see people maybe not ready to leave the first time, but they'll come back, and maybe even a third time. So we're there for them. And then We determine, for instance, if she doesn't have shelter, we will call one of our partners. Weave is an excellent partner, my sister's house, who can offer that service. If they need help with transportation, we can provide that. If they need social services, we will take them there. So everything that we do is a warm handoff, or we have people, some of our partners are right there in our center co-located with us.
The Family Justice Center is in Sacramento County. Is it only open to people in Sacramento County?
That's our primary geographic area, although we have seen people from other regions, and we do help them or refer them and make sure that they get the help they need.
I want to get back to this concept of safety. Mm-hmm. What makes a place safe, and how do you try to ensure that? And that also implies that people coming in are often in some sort of state of fear.
Absolutely, they are. A person who is afraid in their own home, and I know you interviewed Rachel Louise Snyder, who often says that the most dangerous place for a woman is in her own home. Mm-hmm. So what we do with that person, how we help that person, is to determine, can she be in that place? If not, where does she need to be? Often there are children involved. So what are the options for that person? We do offer free legal services for temporary restraining order petitions. And if in that the court grants a move-out order, we help that person to be safe during that period of time. And then perhaps she and the children can stay in the home. But otherwise, we will make sure that she gets to a safe place.
I'm looking at essentially a brochure about this, and listed under where to turn is everything from hotline numbers to service numbers to shelter services, suicide prevention, law enforcement. You talked about agencies needing to be on board or nonprofits, Jan, but law enforcement had to be an important arm of this as well. And did it impact some changes once the doors were open to the center?
Oh, law enforcement has been a partner since the very beginning of the idea of it and moving forward to the planning and implementation and establishment of the Family Justice Center. Law enforcement is co-located at our center.
On Power End Road. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so the law enforcement piece, the public safety piece, is hugely important because, again, they just don't go out and arrest. They are there to protect and assist. And so we call on them often. And especially, Faith, you might want to mention the lethality assessment mm-hmm. and connection with the safety of the victims. Mm-hmm.
Every case manager sits with the victim and goes through a 20-question survey to determine what level of danger she is in at that time.
Is that the danger assessment?
The danger assessment,
that
right.
That Rachel talked about,
correct.
Rachel being the author of No Visible Bruises.
Right, mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, that is. And what happens, questions such as, you know, what we wouldn't be surprised, is there a gun in the house? Are there drugs being used? But questions also such as, do you have children who are not his? Has he... and I'm using he, she in that way, but has he threatened suicide? So these 20 questions, what often happens is when she's taking this survey, she's shocked to see the level of danger that she's actually in because she's normalized this behavior in order to survive. And so we help her understand that it's really a serious situation. And we give a lot of credit to these people to say, you know, you're a survivor. You have made it this far. We want to help you make it over the next step because you have recognized something that has changed and you need to get out. And I want to say in follow-up to Jan, we do have detectives from the Sacramento Police Department, Sacramento Sheriff's Department on duty 5 days a week in our center. And they're wonderful because they are a resource to our staff. They are willing to sit down with the clients to discuss options and scenarios. So law enforcement has been, and we have great partnerships with all the law enforcement agencies in Sacramento County.
That's Faith Whitmore. I'm also talking with Jan Scully about the Sacramento Regional Family Justice Center. We will post a link to it on our website. It's located on Power and Road. Everything is free. No appointment is needed. Jan, I actually want your take on Faith's background because Rachel Louise Snyder made a point of saying that to have a member of the clergy, Faith having been a pastor for most of her life, in place at the center meant something significant. In your view, what's the value? What does that mean?
Well, it's hard to separate minister faith from the person faith, because that was her calling and that's who she is. And the beauty of a family justice center is we're very victim-focused, victim-centered. We don't tell them what to do. We work with them and try to hear what they want to do. So we're not caring about, it's not about us, it's about them. And a minister, in terms of taking care of their congregation, their flock, are always caring about not really the holistic group, but the individual. And faith is just brings so much to that, and her demeanor and her tone. It's not threatening. It's calm. We have a victim survivor on our board that participated in the interviews for our CEO. And Faith was the quietest, but she was impactful. So we asked her perception of our victim survivor. And she said, you know, she's soft-spoken, but there's just a quality about her that touches me. And I know that she'll make a difference, and she has.
We have focused most of this conversation on domestic violence, but I listed a number of other areas of the experience of a victim. Where are we trending? We hear much more about human trafficking, but also elder abuse. In terms of any of these areas rising in terms of victims in need, Can you identify what's happening?
I think people will be surprised to hear that over 10% of the people who come into our center are elder abuse victims. And those are people, not financial abuse, but physical abuse. And that's heartbreaking to see. So we have set up a lot of networks to help that population. Human trafficking is a very significant issue in our community, both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. We focus more on the sex trafficking, and we work with 5 agencies in Sacramento that do phenomenal work. And among those are City of Refuge, CASH, which is Community Against Sexual Harm, Bridge Network. So we work in partnership with them, and they see it every day.
Can I just add one thing? And I'd like to remind people that we have each of those categories, domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, elder abuse, child abuse, under the umbrella of family violence. And what people forget when they focus on human trafficking, well, there's a DV victim right there. And people don't appreciate the overlap and the interfaces of all the relationships here. The people that I would send to prison for violent or serious crime, 90% plus of those victims, those bad guys, actually had a history of growing up in a violent environment.
This is what Rachel said was eye-opening to her. She was looking in this direction and realized, oh, everything else must be happening in that direction, too. By the way, we are going to re-air the conversation with her on Monday. It is powerful. It's informative. And I think around this time of year, especially, which is tense and difficult and stressful for a lot of people, maybe this will be helpful to someone in crisis. And we're going to post a link. Before I let you go, and Jan, I think you knew I was also going to ask for your reflections in your time since being DA. You left office in 2016?
End of 2014, actually.
End of 2014.
Yeah,
wow.
It's been that long.
A few years have gone by. The capital city has gone through the experience of the Stephon Clark case and a lot of what has been opened up, dialogued about, struggled with in this community. Could I get your take on what Sacramento has been experiencing and what you watched happen like everybody else did across this region?
It's been a bit depressing, but I think that it just hasn't happened to Sacramento. It's been all across the nation. And sometimes you have to finally pull off scabs, and communities have to go through that painful part before they can start trying to grow again together. And I see examples of that in our community and elsewhere, and that I'm all about hope, and I'm an optimist and idealist. I believe in our district attorney. I've seen the outreach that she's done in ways that since that time she's worked together as a team with members of the community for a sexually violent predator case and some other kinds of things. And it's all about relationships, and trust issues. And it's tough to be a cop and a prosecutor nowadays because of those trust and relationship issues. We need to step forward, continue to step forward, and we need to make sure that we're part of working together with the community members because we're best when we're together.
Have you continued to be in somewhat of an emeritus role? Have you stayed involved as a mentor, a sounding board in any sort of way, especially as the city worked through the last 2 years?
Maybe a little bit. I'm always available. But for me, my focus really is now on the community work of the Family Justice Center because it's really the community is really the group that makes the difference. And the community is there to support and be part of the team, of the public safety team. And when we start drawing lines and it's the community and the public safety team, and we're not, there should be no boundaries. There should be no fences. And we're at our best, again, as I said, when we are together.
Well, thank you both. I had told Faith when Rachel Louise Snyder was here that we needed to have this conversation. And I think that's an ongoing need that we have to do so everyone's aware of the resources, because I think you don't expect that you could be the one in the situation and then suddenly you are.
And you know what we like to say is, whether it's the victim or it's family members or friends, whomever, you just get them to the Family Justice Center. We'll take it from there.
Thank you so much. That is former Sacramento County DA Jan Scully. Thank you so much for joining us today. And the CEO of the Family Justice Center, Faith Whitmore. Thank you, Faith.
Thank you, Beth, for having us.
Again, we'll re-air that conversation with Rachel Louise Snyder on Monday on Insight. And those links will be at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.